is Penn Jillette here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Just a beautiful day out here in the desert. Sitting here with Michael Goudeau. Phone number is 866-570-PEN, 7366. Get that number right out there in case you got a better idea than me for what the show should be. 866-570-PEN, 7366 if you don't have letters on your phone. PENradio at gmail.com. That's PENNRADIO at gmail.com. PENradio.com is the web address where you can get more of that music by Mike Jones. And today is, as you may have noticed, Friday the 13th. It's considered in our culture and in mostly, I guess, what other cultures?
English Portugal. And Portugal.
Portugal, yeah. It's considered to be a really, really bad, bad luck day. Now, probably of all the hosts that are on the radio, do you think there are two hosts on the radio right now who are less superstitious than the two of us?
Seems unlikely.
Seems unlikely. You know, when Teller and I were... We're on Broadway. People probably don't even know this, but there's all sorts of superstitions in theater. And I want people to call in if they have any superstition that they believe in. Is there anybody that listens to this show that has a superstition that they believe is real? And I guess I have to cheat on that a little bit because I think by definition a superstition is not real. Is that right?
I believe that's true, yes.
Okay, so if there's something that's considered by others to be a superstition, like God, and you believe in it, you could just give a call. 866-570-PEN-7366. Because there are so many of them, you know. And I always go out of my way to walk under ladders, you know. We used to break mirrors all the time. But there's a few specific showbiz.
Whistling backstage.
Whistling backstage.
Whistling?
Whistling. Whistling backstage. And that's so close to my Sean Connery impersonation. and also quoting Macbeth. He referred to that Scottish play.
Really?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that one.
Yeah. Macbeth is considered to be bad luck, to quote backstage. So every time...
I did Macbeth in junior high school, oddly enough.
Were you the lead?
No, I was Macduff.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a honest, true story. I lost my voice the day of the show and went on anyway, barely able to speak, you know, it's freaking out. And Macbeth and I have a sword fight at the end when my line is, I have no voice... my voice is in my sword, thou bloody villain. voice is in my sword, thou bloody villain. Big laughs in Macbeth.
But you're not supposed to ever mention Macbeth backstage. So every night before we went on, we would... Or, you know, you're not supposed to say good luck. That's where the break a leg comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So people would say to me, you know, break a leg at the show tonight. And I'd say, I hope you get hurt really badly yourself. so you're not supposed to say good luck. You're not supposed to say Macbeth. You're not supposed to whistle. So Mark Garland, who was our director of covert activities at the show on Broadway. This is Broadway. We're playing a real, no-kidding Broadway theater that's been around for a million years. And, you know, Eugene O'Neill plays have played there. And now, you know, the state of Broadway is... such that Penn and Teller are playing there. And we'd be backstage, and Mark Garland, who's the guy who's, you know, set all the props, made everything work, like who Nate Santucci is now. We would stand, the three of us, as we walked out, and I would say, good luck, and Teller would quote from Macbeth, and then Mark would whistle. So it'd be, good luck, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps, and then we'd go on. And the union stagehands filed a grievance against us with the union that we were doing bad luck things backstage. And so we couldn't believe that. So we started still doing the good luck Macbeth. And then we added to that, and nothing could possibly go wrong, which is something we say backstage all the time now. And it's amazing how many people are bothered by that kind of thing. You know, good luck in show business. There are people that are still bothered by that.
Yeah, I whistled backstage at a magic show once, not the Lance Burton show, another one, and the magician went out and burned himself like a minute after saying, "Stop whistling, it's bad luck."
So that's that would be a nocebo, right?
Yeah, the nocebo.
Nocebo.
Yes.
We learned a new word today, me and Michael.
We're going to use it as often as we can.
Nocebo. A nocebo is kind of the opposite of placebo. It's something that causes damage when it has no real power. So if he were to think that what you did backstage whistling was bad luck and went out and burned himself, yeah, a perfect example of a nocebo, which is one of my favorite things. Dystopia is another one of those. And dysphemism is great, too. Because, you know, euphemism is saying something nicer than it actually is. Dysphemism is, you know, for instance, for bombing, you'd say collateral damage is a euphemism. And for a dysphemism, you would say pave it. You know, we're going to pave it. back to the Stone Age. What did you say? Okay, before we get too into superstitions, Jack is breaking in and saying that we have to take... Oh, my goodness! I know what this one is! Let's talk to Andrea. Hey, Andrea, what's up?
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Never better, boss. Never better. What's up?
Well, I took your advice.
Well, let's just recap a bit. Your husband, I remember this one vividly because I think I used it for nighttime thinking. your husband, it's Ruby, don't take your love to town. It wasn't him that started that old crazy Asian war, but your husband is sick and not really sexually active with you. So you said you were being frustrated. You said, what advice did I have? My advice was talk to him. Maybe he'll be into you. Expanding your sexuality somewhat, and now you're calling in with a report. Lay it on us, Andrea.
Well,
remember, we don't need any hands to talk on the phone.
He's in the other room with a gun.
Well, I have to, let me back up for a second, because I used to bring girls home.
Sure.
So
me too.
And so that used to be really fun, but then he stopped even wanting that. After I spoke with you, I had a big glass of wine, and I said, Sal, I really, really want to ask you if it's a big favor. And because there was somebody that I had in mind that I wanted to spend some time with. And so I made dinner, and that's when I asked Sal, and he didn't mind me taking a nice shower and getting all dressed up, knowing that I was going to go out and have fun, and he just didn't want to hear about it. You know, just whatever.
He didn't want the details afterwards.
Yeah, he doesn't want to hear about it. I mean, it makes me sad because he's the one I want to be with, but
sure.
I don't want to be with somebody who feels like they have to.
And is he, did this already happen, this evening you went out?
Mm-hmm.
And it went well?
Oh, yeah.
And your husband Sal was cool with it.
Well, yeah, we didn't talk about it.
Oh, you didn't talk about it, but he wasn't outraged, and you weren't sneaking around. You weren't sneaking around like some 14-year-old freak. You did this like an adult.
Yeah, like changing my clothes in the bathroom or something. No, he knew that I was going to go out and have a good time, and he was happy that I was happy.
Well, that's terrific. So Ruby took her love to town, and it was okay, right?
Yes, sweetie.
Oh, that's wonderful. Another happy ending from the
pendulum. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Keep in touch. We want to hear posts on every one of your liaisons. Your husband does not want to hear about it. Penn Jillette does. Is that very clear to you? And if you snap any digital pictures, you can send them right to Michael Goodell. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Bye.
Glad that worked out. Thanks. Now, that's a superstition to start, that if you have extramarital sex and you don't tell the Penn Jillette show about it, it's very bad luck. Very, very, very bad luck. You have to report that. So we were talking about superstition. Well, that's a good story, isn't it? I don't like the sadness.
The successful Ask Layperson Penn.
Yeah, a very successful Ask Layperson Penn. And that was advice that maybe another show might not give. But she went straight forward, had a discussion with him, and all things went on. She has a very sexy voice, you know what I'm saying? Very, very sexy voice.
Probably part of why the discussion went so well.
Well, she was she's terrific. She is so far my favorite caller. I was going to say it's high up on my list.
Hard
too.
In the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, we no reason to just keep mulling over.
Oh yeah, we have to keep doing the show, right?
Okay.
Sorry.
Let's talk to Liz. How you doing, Liz?
Hi, Liz. Hi, Pat. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Liz. Hi, Mike.
How does she know your secret? How does she know you dress up and call yourself Liz? How does she know that? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. Tell us what you have in mind.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
We're here. I was just drinking a little sip of tea because I thought you were taking over the show for a moment.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
Oh, good God.
Did we lose her?
Oh, no.
Did we lose Liz?
Well,
she hung up. Liz, please, what did we do wrong? We did nothing wrong. Please. Oh, he hung up on her? Yeah, okay.
She doesn't like to be called Mike.
I guess that was the whole problem. Let's talk to Quinn. Is this the Quinn that I know?
This is the Quinn that you know.
Oh, hi, Quinn. How you doing?
Ken, how are you?
I've never been better, boss. Never been better. You got something to say about superstition?
Well, I have a theory. I'm not superstitious myself, but in fact, I was actually driving once with a friend, and a black cat ran across the road, and we fortunately did not hit the cat, but my friend lost her mind, and she was convinced that if we turned around and drove backwards the same way, it would reverse any sort of evil or omen.
Okay, I'm a little lost.
that might happen.
Backwards the same way? You mean back up over the same route and try to back over the cat?
No, it would erase any sort of horrible things that might happen.
I just don't understand. Suppose you're going north in the street. You're then going to turn around, go back, and then back up with the motion heading north over
exactly.
the same area, or you're going to go back and back up heading south on the same terrain?
Just go in the just past the same direction that the cat had gone across, and it would.
Well, but the same direction the cat went across would be perpendicular to the travel of the car. So you were parallel parking in the middle of a road?
She wanted to basically put the car in reverse, and we would drive backwards.
So if you had been going north before, you'd now be going south backwards.
Right.
Okay,
yes.
That's all. See, you're about to talk about OCD, and you've got someone that is so obsessed with how the car is moving, they can't get on with the story. But go ahead.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's me that's crazy on this one. Sorry.
No, I was not clear. Listen to the tape. You'll realize it was all me. But I was thinking about what some of my own rituals are, and they aren't really like superstitions, but they've got to be sort of rooted in something. Like if I'm thinking, oh gosh, did I turn something off? And it's not really a superstition, but I might think, okay, well, if I say it out loud, okay, I am unplugging the curling iron from the wall as I leave the house, then I don't obsess about it. And the thing with the cat, with my friend, that was sort of like her own kind of OCD thing. Like, well, if I reverse, I just was wondering if you had any,
you know,
wonder.
That's really true. You know, I have a huge number of rituals that I do. Like, every time someone sneezes, I say, that's funny. There's all sorts of stuff. There's certain windows I like to look out of in a certain pose. There's certain things I say to my wife at certain times of the day. And these are all what I consider to be jokes, but they really do feel very much like rituals. And if I attached any meaning to them whatsoever, I think they'd absolutely be seen as super. Superstition. You know that at all, Godot?
No.
Not at all? Nothing. You have nothing you do every time?
Nope.
No sort of ritual you do?
No.
Is there anything you do right before you go on stage?
Nope. If I'm really depressed, I'll say, by the power of Grayskull, like I'm He-Man. But that's just to cheer myself up. I will cross my arms above my head and shout, by the power of Grayskull. And that'll just cheer me up a little bit. Also, Scotty Melter and I shouldn't have said his last name. It's too late now. We would hold hands sometimes and pray to God that this would be the worst show ever. And that would always cheer us up, and we'd have a good show. So.
Yeah. You didn't want to say his last name, Melter?
I probably shouldn't have done that to him.
anything else there, Quinn? I'm just so excited to talk to you.
No, I was just thinking about that, because most superstitions are kind of rooted in some kind of religion or paganism or something, mm-hmm. if you take most of them far enough back, but a lot of them are, I was just considering the correlation.
They might just be little weird OCD habits that got picked up by more than one person, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to hang up and go look for cats to run over.
Okay, good thinking. Good thinking. That was Quinn, who wrote to us quite often. I like her. Let's talk to Liz. You're back. Did you hang up on us?
I didn't hang up.
No one hangs up on us, bitch.
Oh,
okay.
The signal got lost, and then your sexy voices got me all like, "Hi, I'm Liz." So, sorry about that. But I'll tell you my superstitious story.
Go ahead.
My, I'm like third generation Italian, so like my parents and my grandparents.
Yep.
Always say, oh, we're not superstitious. And so one night I had a lot of company over and we blew up the air mattress. So we go to make the bed and my grandmother goes, three people can't make the bed. And I said, what? Because like there was three of us, you know, one on either side of the bed. And she goes, three people can't make the bed. It's bad luck. It's bad luck for the relationship. And I was like, what? She's like, no, just don't do it. So I stopped making the bed and I, you know, still am having good sex, so that's the reason.
So you think the reason is that your grandmother didn't help you make the bed?
I hope so. Actually, I stopped making the bed. Her and my boyfriend made the bed, so I don't know. That's kind of weird.
That's not that weird, I guess, for your grandmother and your boyfriend to make the bed. And
I don't know, but now I won't do three people making the bed. I won't do it. It's become my own superstition.
Really? You won't do it? You don't really believe there's a danger to that, though.
No, but it's not necessary. What if, you know, it starts to mess up my relationship? You
okay,
know?
Well, I guess it's a pretty good relationship. And also gets other people to make the bed all the time for you, right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much,
I
Liz.
I get two benefits from it.
There you go. And don't you ever hang up on us again. Ever.
I was an accident. I lost the signal.
I know.
Thanks again, guys.
Okay,
have a good
so
fight
much.
Of our team.
Thanks
bye-bye.
So what was the last thing she said?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's like, goodbye with me.
Happy Friday the 13th. That's what she said. My mind was wandering a second, thinking about her in bed with her grandmother, which is not what I should have been thinking. That was not what the story was about. Let's take another call here. How about let's talk to Jason. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Penn. How you doing?
Never better, boss. How are you?
Not bad. It's really my superstition's kind of weird because I don't have like any literature background or any theater background at all. And I don't believe in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't. But I do not say the Scottish play. I don't use the actual title for it.
You don't mind if I do?
Oh, no. It's okay if you do.
Okay.
But I just...
But you won't say the word Macbeth.
No, I just won't do it.
In any context at all?
No, in any context whatsoever, with the exception of actually reading the play.
Let me just ask you, have you been reading it aloud? Will you avoid it if you're reading it aloud?
No, if I'm reading the play out loud, then it's okay, but I don't, like, say it. When I was in high school and, like, say we'll be reading that Scottish play, I would say that Scottish play.
Now, the
you know?
Okay, let's just say this. Let's say it's the future.
Okay.
And prostitution is 100% legal.
Okay.
And McDonald's has gotten into the prostitution business. And they've decided that they are going to codify prostitution. So every sex act and every kind of man and woman is there for you. So you've got Sibby that does this, and you've got Dave that does this, and they're all the same at every McDonald's. And McDonald's has their one special, which is the one you want. And she's called Beth. But because it's McDonald's, they say it's the Macbeth. Now, would you go in if she was the one you wanted and say, give me the redheaded hooker? Or would you be able to say, I want to sleep with Macbeth. Here's my $35.
I'm going to go with that one, Ted. I will say, in that situation, most definitely.
Okay, thank you so much. That's all I wanted to hear from you, Jason. So he's not really superstitious. We'll be back after this. This is Penn Jillette, 866-570-PEN, 7366. I'll take a McCindy, please, with everything on it. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette here on the Big Free FM. 866-570-PEN, 7366. Talking about superstition, and we're also celebrating Andrea taking the advice of Ask Layperson Penn and having it work out for her. That's a really terrific thing.
And a first.
And we also got Jason to say that he would order the Macbeth hooker if it was a McDonald's, but doesn't say Macbeth other than that. We're solving problems here. You know what I mean? We're doing a lot of good for
the
world.
That's the kind of
show we do. Yeah. We do a problem-solving show. Why don't you say the name of the Fear of Friday the 13th there, Godot? What's in your mouth? What are you eating?
My tongue.
Okay. Go ahead.
P- Parascaveda catriophobia.
That was really said comfortably, not with a little bit of authority.
Parascaveda de catriophobia.
I think it's deck. Isn't a deck in there?
Deck, yeah, there's a deck. Yeah. Parascaveda catriophobia.
That's probably the accent. Yeah. I don't, you know, I don't try to do it myself. I just want to correct you on doing it. I don't know. Now, this is a weird one, you know, and a lot of people on this show like to talk about dope. I don't know if this is everywhere, but at least around Cleveland, it said if you smoke marijuana with a red lighter, you will get arrested. Some people won't even touch red lighters. It's ridiculous. What? What? Has anybody ever heard that? You ever heard that, Patrick? You smoke dope, didn't you, Patrick? Did you ever hear that about red lighters? You ever hear that about red lighters? I have to go to the pothead room out of the broadcast room to see if we can have information on that. And President Mike has said he can't call in today. We don't know why. But the B.F. Skinner...
Cabinet meeting.
B.F. Skinner did some research with pigeons, randomly giving them food and seeing if they'd classically conditioned to expect food from whatever random behavior they were doing at the time. The result, elaborate pigeon dances, where the pigeon will repeat a series of ridiculous behaviors so as to receive food. Similarly, people will expect positive or negative results from random activities due to coincidental stimuli. Thus, a superstition is born. Let's take a phone call. Let's talk to Eric. What's up, Eric?
Michael Godot? Is that Michael Godot?
It's almost.
Oh, man, it's so awesome to get to talk to you. This is the Michael Godot show, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Who's out there with you?
I don't know.
Okay.
My assistant.
Okay, I just wanted to make that clear.
Thank you.
So yeah, I'm lousy with superstitions, maggoty even, because I play hockey, and it's, you know, I'm a goalie.
Sure. Me too.
And, of course, we're just plain nuts in the head anyway.
That's right.
I've got pretty much just stupid Rain Man rituals. I've got to wear the same number. If I'm on a winning streak, I've got to keep with the same stick, can't retape it, can't shave. I used to do something stupid called anointing the crease. I would take a tug from the water bottle and spit it all around the crease, forming some sort of invisible barrier. And, of course, you know, none of this helps me not suck. I still suck. But
yeah, what do you do when you lose?
You know, obviously, if I lose, I did it wrong.
Okay, you don't just dump them all and start over?
No, I did something wrong. I probably got to the rink too late, because, you know, obviously these are all superstitions that I would believe in. Otherwise, I wouldn't do them.
I didn't even know that pigeons, one, played hockey, and two, could talk. Now, you weren't a goalie. No,
I was not a goalie. No.
Did you have any rituals you did then?
No, not at all.
Not a one?
Not a one.
That's not a one.
My ritual was putting on my skates. It's very bad luck to play hockey without skates.
So how do you play professional hockey here?
No. The highest level I got was playing against professionals. I just play in recreation leagues.
Okay, and you're a goalie, huh?
Yeah.
Man, don't you get, like, all beat up doing that?
Yeah, but, you know, I've heard you say something about, you know, pain's okay, you know, getting hurt is okay, but getting injured is bad.
Yeah.
You know, you get hurt all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, I broke ribs, broke fingers.
Uh-huh.
In fact, right before my wedding, both my ring fingers shattered, and that pissed my wife off a lot.
Both of your ring fingers?
Both of them, yeah. You know, you catch...
Can you explain how that happened? That seems amazing.
Well, the one was actually, because I... Actually,
two incidents.
Yeah, well, one was catching a puck with the glove hand, which is my left hand, and then I was playing in a flag football league, and I picked somebody up and threw him to the ground and got my finger caught in his jersey and shattered that one. And
ring fingers on both.
Yeah, but you know what? What good is a ring finger? What does that do?
And nothing? They're both in spoil. It helps you pick up someone and throw them down, and it helps you catch a hockey puck.
No, it's an obstacle that, you know, I could cut him off and probably play just as good.
So, you want to be like Mickey Mouse playing hockey.
Yeah, well, yeah, what the hell good is five fingers?
And so, where did you, I really want the answer to this question, where did you put your wedding ring, then?
Just got it resized and put it on the big swollen ring finger.
The big swollen ring finger. That's the name of my band if I start one today. Big swollen ring finger. Big swollen ring finger on wedding night. That would be our first album. Big swollen ring finger. New album on wedding night.
I like it.
Thank you so much.
Right, thank you,
Eric. Thanks. You know, I love when people go, oh, look who's on. I just see a name on here. I guess we have to talk to him. Because when you're talking superstition, you're talking Native American. How you doing, Grey Wolf?
Hey, brother. How you doing, man?
Never better. We missed you on Columbus Day, man. You were in Denver at a big party or something, right?
Well, no, I was in Denver on Sunday. On Monday, I was back here in Baltimore protesting down at the oldest known Columbus statue in the United States.
Oh, that's what you're doing. Who's in the background? What are you doing? Are you raping and pillaging right now as we speak?
No, actually, I'm in the store getting ready. I'm on my way to work.
Okay, cool. What superstitions do you have, Grey Wolf?
Well, as you know, most superstitions, if within the United States, period, pretty much come from us. I'll give you
one.
Well,
Friday the 13th is English, but go ahead.
Right. Well, like when you see an owl, there's going to be someone's going to die. Okay. that's strictly us. there's one that is actually a part of the belief system. It's not so much a superstition. That's about dragonflies. A lot of people don't know it, but most of the Algonquin tribes, traditionalists believe that dragonflies carry the souls of babies. And when a dragonfly dies, but naturally, when a dragonfly dies, that's when a baby is born.
Huh.
And then there's a few other things.
So what happens if it, what is an unnatural death for a dragonfly? If they
like
smoke?
When somebody kills it. When somebody intentionally kills a dragonfly, they wind up with fitful dreams.
Okay, so you get fitful dreams, but what happens to the soul of the baby? Does it go into the baby prematurely?
No, it goes.
It just goes. It just goes.
It kills the baby.
Oh, you have no baby at all. Now, do you believe these superstitions, or are these part of the culture that you enjoy?
Well, you know what? I mean, some of them I believe it kind of half-heartedly, because I will not kill a dragonfly. Just like I won't kill a praying mantis, because if you kill a praying mantis, it'll give you nightmares. You know, and I mean,
just a praying mantis existing gives you nightmares. Those are some ugly some bitches, I'll tell you. If praying mantises were the size of dogs, you would never go out of your house, ever, ever.
But look, I mean, really, if you think about it.
I'm thinking about it.
I know in my own brain, you know, in the 21st century that, you know, I'm a freaking idiot for believing any of it.
Well, that's good to you. That's what we like you.
Right. But, I mean, it's like it's so inbred in me that I still kind of believe it half-heartedly, and I don't want to, like, I don't want to push the envelope in case it is real. You know what I mean?
That's a nice way to put it.
It's like, okay, I got my own little special OCD kind of thing that I know is, like, goofy, but I can't help it. It's like, when I go into a public restroom and I use the urinal, I got this strange thing in the back of my head that somehow or another this germ that can travel 30 and poison me.
That is perfect, Gray Wolf. Thank you so much. Gray Wolf has, what did he say, how fast was it going, the germ?
Zillions.
He said he gave an actual, like, the speed of sound, right? He said three times the speed of sound or something, didn't he say?
I don't remember.
I forgot what he said. Like 2,400 mile an hour germ. That's pretty cool.
I'm busy reading all of the emails we got from all of the pot smokers, and every color lighter is covered. So, they just can't get the story straight. No, it's white lighters in Jersey, dude.
So the point is that maybe if you smoke marijuana, you might be arrested.
Yeah. If you have a lighter and you're smoking marijuana, one of those two is bad luck.
What is this? This is, I was going to read this without saying it. Okay. Oh, that's right. One of my favorite things you ever said to me. This is from Mike Wilson, who did Michael Moore Hates America. A very good friend of mine, a fabulous filmmaker, who's working on a movie about the oil industry now. Michael Wilson says, one of my favorite things you ever said to me, my wife and I got separated. My grandma died. I'm just waiting for the third thing to happen. Penn, you know why things always happen in threes? Me, why? Penn, because that's when people stop counting. Things actually happen in 714,327s, but nobody wants to count that high. He said, I remind myself of that every time things go to, and I'm putting in a different word. He's using obscenity. I'm using the word hell instead. Because hell, of course, isn't an obscenity. Because there's no such thing. We'll be back after this. 866-570-PEN-7366. Mike Wilson. I like Mike Wilson. He's a good guy. PennRadio.com. This is Penn Jillette, sitting here with Michael Goudeau. I'm the Big Michael Goudeau Show. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. You don't have letters on your phone. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com is the website. You sent me, you know, first you said on the air that it was every color lighter possible by a stoner, and then you sent me some of the messages.
You thought I was kidding.
Yellow, man! Yellow! It's yellow! Really, really funny. Yeah, that's really, and there's a guy wrote in, this is from a guy named Tom, Penn, I think what you told the caller about being able to say the name of the Scottish play if it were a prostitute was genius, but he actually wouldn't. The play is Macbeth. The lady earning a living would be Macbeth. Can I supersize mine? By the way, the only people that should be superstitious today would be the Templar Knights, since they're the ones having a really bad day way back on that Friday the 13th. Oh, yeah, and how you doing, Michael? So that's Tom weighing in on the whole thing. A guy writes in to say that the whistling backstage superstition started because they used to whistle to bring in drops in the days before telecoms. And cue lights. I don't know about that. I'm always afraid of those things that make a lot of sense because it could be a just-so story. I've also heard that the superstition about whistling backstage was so that people wouldn't miss their cues and could hear their lines. Let me see. Here's a person that says they always stay out. Their name is Shed Troll. Good. Host of the Demented Random Guy podcast. Hi, Penn. I always stay away from Ouija boards, those boards that you contact the dead with. My mom believes them to be the most dangerous thing on the planet. They are like supernatural chat rooms. They are genuinely dangerous. Love the show. No, they're not. Just in case someone is thinking.
If you throw it like a frisbee, it's very dangerous.
I guess the original name is Ouija board, right? Because it's yes in both French and German.
Yeah, that's what we found out in our show.
I wrote a script with Neil Gaiman. You know Neil Gaiman?
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman, you should know Neil Gaiman, because Neil Gaiman is famous enough that if you go into, and check this out, go into Google and type Neil. Just type Neil. It will not be Neil Young that comes up first, you know. It will be Neil Gaiman. And he and I wrote a script about a Turkish prison camp in the First World War, because we thought America was clamoring for a movie about Turkish prison camps.
NeilGaiman.com.
Comes up first. And Neil Gaiman and I wrote this script called The Road to Endor, based on this true story of people, an Englishman and a Welshman and an Australian who escaped from a Turkish prison camp using a Ouija board. They were faking stuff on a Ouija board and took over control of the camp. Very Hogan's Heroes-ish with a lot of twists. Just a goofy,
and a
goofy
true story.
An amazing story. If you want to read a fabulous book, The Road to Endor,
good luck
about Ouija
it.
Board. We have to go on the web. Road to Endor is the name of the book.
Well, there are several books called Road to Endor.
So make sure it's written by Jones.
Jones
is the name
Dr.
you want
Jones.
To look for. Yeah, it wasn't actually a doctor. It wasn't a doctor, but Jones is the last name. And he's like a lieutenant, I think. So
I think I have two other versions of Road to Endor.
The Road to Endor. It'll cost you it's going to cost you $100, but it's a great book. It's a very, very good book. Let's see. I'm just going to take these at random now. Let's take John. What's up, John?
Hey, Penn, how you doing? Nice to talk to you.
Very nice to talk to you, John.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks.
When they told me a magician was coming to New York, I really didn't know how it was going to work out on the radio, but you do a great job.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you.
Yeah. My superstition is with sports. So, say I'm watching a sporting event like last night. I was watching the Devils take on the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I left to go walk a neighbor's dog, and the Toronto Maple Leafs scored 5 goals. So I had to get my ass back in the house and sit down, and we turned around and won the game. My point is this, is that if my team scores and I leave the house, I can't go back in and watch the game. They must win when I'm away. They will win if I'm away, but if I come back, they're going to lose. Do you get what I'm saying?
So your solution is, in order for your team to win, you should not watch them. Is that right?
If I'm not watching and they start winning, then yes, I can't go back and watch them. But you know, if they start losing and I'm, you know what I mean.
And you can find out with a phone call.
Oh. With a phone call?
How do you find out if you've left?
Oh, no, you can listen to the radio. That's
okay,
fine.
I just want to know what the rules were.
You just can't be watching it.
Just trying to figure it out. But you don't believe that's true.
Yeah, I definitely do.
Okay.
I don't. It's fun to have superstitions.
Of course.
You know?
Well, it's fun to have. I call those rituals as opposed to superstitions.
You could call it a ritual. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Thanks so much, John. Right. Thanks, John. Do you have any? You don't have any of those at all.
He gave you permission to call it a ritual. That's very nice.
Kind of. Yeah, I call it a ritual. Person writes in and says, "Hey, Michael. Oh, this is for you.
It is.
If you go out of your way to break mirrors, walk under ladders, etc., isn't that a form of reverse superstition?" Yes. Answer that, smart guy.
Yes. That was easy. Thank you. Did you think I wouldn't know that one?
Let's see. Let's talk to Edwin. What's up, Edwin?
Hi.
Hi, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Never better, boss. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, I got this thing when I go into, like, a public restroom stall.
Uh-huh.
I can't have anything above my waist. I can't wear anything above my waist. I have to take my shirt off, my watch, my glasses, everything. Otherwise, nothing will happen.
So, what you're wearing above the waist in the public restroom?
Somehow. I have no idea what it's about, but...
How long have you been doing this?
I don't know, like 5 years now. It started out slowly. First, it was like I couldn't wear my watch. Then, suddenly, I couldn't... My shirt on. If I'm in my own house, I don't wear anything at all. I can't.
I see, of course. I once wanted to say of course to that.
What do you do at the airport? I mean, how do you manage to make flights and stuff? I mean, that just seems...
Well, it doesn't take that long to take your shirt off. Here, I'm with this guy, by the way.
Where do you put it all? You can't put it on the floor in the public bathroom.
There's a little hook. There's a hook.
There's only one hook.
Yeah. Right. You put your...
One hook.
So there's
a shirt, jacket... I hook my glasses on the pocket, and if I'm in a handicap stall, it's too far. Hook is always one of those little bars that I sling it over.
And you strip from the waist up.
Waist up.
Yeah.
I got a system.
You got a system. Wow.
You're using the handicap spot? Dude.
Anything that's available.
Whatever's available. And you strip from the... So if you're wearing a suit jacket, or you just like a T-shirt guy?
I'm more of a button shirt kind of guy.
So
it doesn't matter.
I told you, he's missing flights on this.
Yeah, unbutton your whole shirt, take off your... Do you wear any rings?
If I am, I'll take that off also and put it in my pocket.
Wow, and then you pull your pants down, they fall out of your pocket. So you're a good guy to follow in the stall for getting rings to hawk, right? That's amazing.
I would imagine
now,
so.
Now, how did it started 5 years ago with just taking your watch off?
It started with little things like that, like if I was wearing a ring, but usually like a watch or something, yeah.
Now, you never wear clothes at all for anything in your house?
Just the bathroom.
Oh, just the bathroom. So you do wear clothes around the house?
Oh, bottoms.
Like if you're watching TV or something, you get some clothes on?
I got pants on.
Okay. this is great. I believe, have you ever heard of anybody else that does this?
No.
We'll put this in the category of a pretty girl puking on a monkey. Something we've discovered on the air that you may be unique in this. Let's get searching on this.
That seems so unlikely.
Awesome. That would be awesome.
Does your girlfriend do the same thing? Does she strip to the waist and stalls?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, we should talk to her about that. There could be a whole... Maybe that's a gene you could pass on if you have kids. Okay, well, thank you so much, Edwin. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. I was kind of at a loss for some of that. You know what I mean? I didn't know. I didn't have any idea what they was talking about. Strips to the waist. I actually think it seems like it's pretty cool. I might try it. I kind of like that one.
It's bad if you're in a very cold bathroom.
I guess so. If you want to bundle up in the bathroom.
Well, it was kind of a funny one here. So my parents were very careful when picking my name. They believe if you have 13 letters in your name, you'll have the devil's luck. And the names he uses are Jack the Ripper, Charles Manson, Jeffrey Dahmer, Theodore Bundy, and Albert DeSalvo all have 13 letters in their name. And his name is Mike McHale, mm-hmm. but Mike is short for Michael, and Michael Bekele is 13 letters.
Is that true?
His parents can't count at all.
Maybe that was just a joke he set up
maybe
for
it's
you.
A joke is that he possible? Set up that I discovered.
But also Jack the Ripper, Smokey the Bear. I mean, you can't put the in there. And also, who calls him Theodore Bundy?
Yeah,
it's Ted Bundy. Everybody calls him Ted Bundy.
Well, my example is Michael instead of Mike.
Exactly. You have to go by the name on the birth certificate. Let's talk to. There's a guy named Seth that I just want to talk to. We'll get him in before the show's over. What's up, Seth?
What's up, man? How's it going?
It's doing very well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. This is going back what you were saying about the lighters when you're smoking.
Yeah.
Out in New York, it's straight out white lighters you don't want to smoke with.
And do you follow that?
No, not at all. I mean, when I'm smoking, I always use a white lighter because it always gets people to leave the circle.
I see. So more dope for you.
Pretty much.
Did you start that rumor?
So what you're saying is other people being superstitious is very useful for your dope consumption. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it can help you out in some ways.
Okay. Thanks so much, Seth. Thank you, Seth. You know, that was I didn't doubt him for a second that he was a pot smoker. Did you?
No.
Not for a second. Let's see what this one is. Let's talk to Rob. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Tim.
What's up?
Hey. If I listen to Slayer,
yeah,
my car will break down. It's like I can listen to any other like band, you know, any band that's like that makes Slayer look like Pat Boone.
Uh-huh.
Nothing will happen. But if I listen to Slayer, pow, car breaks down.
How many times you tested this?
A lot. This has all happened when I was like, you know, 18, 19. I'm like 38 now.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so much so that. I don't even want to bother with it anymore. Yeah, it was one of my favorite bands when I was a teenager.
Uh-huh.
But I can throw anything else on, and, you know.
But you could, you could listen to Slayer at home, of course.
No, no. So I listen to it at home. A couple days later, car breaks down. It's stupid.
What kind of problems did you have with your car after Slayer?
The brakes would go out. Fan belt would snap. Usually it was the brakes. So that was like, okay. All right, no more Rain and Blood. I'll just switch over to another band.
What band do you listen to now?
Probably Anti-Scene.
Okay.
Stuff
Captain
like
Zeal.
Yeah,
he's not running.
And the cars.
It's really bloody Captain and Tennille stuff. Or, yeah.
You also know that cars have gotten better since you were 18 or 19.
Yeah, well,
you might want to try Slayer again.
Yeah.
And you're also in a better socioeconomic group now, I imagine. You have more money, so you probably have a better car.
And probably aren't listening to Slayer.
What do you got now?
I do. I listen to like much worse than Slayer now. It's horrible.
What do you got for a car?
I have a Honda CR-V.
All of a sudden, clack. You got a Honda?
Yeah,
try some. Try some Slayer. See if the car stays going. Call us on Monday, would you please?
Sure will.
Yeah, call us on Monday. Listen to some Slayer. Call us on Monday. Actually, that's kind of Dr. Penn there. Listen to some Slayer. Call us on Monday. This is a great show. I like this. I love the guy stripping to the waist to go to the public toilet. Do you find anybody that has that?
Not yet.
I want to know so much more. We'll get some Gmails on that. The people will always tell us the truth. This is Penn Jillette with Michael Goudeau here. On the Penn Jillette Show, free FM, CBS Radio. It frightens me, the awful truth of how sweet life can be. I've been thinking about Alicia Keys.